let's begin with a couple of readings. I'm going to have first a reading from the book of Amos for our scripture reading. It's one of my favorite verses, or a series of verses. It comes from chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it's actually the updated edition of that. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted calves I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I also like to read a short excerpt from an essay by Dorothy Day. Her essay is called Love is the Measure. What we would like to do is change the world. Make it a little simpler for people to feed, clothe, and shelter themselves as God intended them to do. And by fighting for better conditions, by crying out unceasingly for the rights of the workers, the poor, of the destitute, the rights of the worthy and unworthy poor, in other words, we can, to a certain extent, change the world. We can work for the oasis, the little cell of joy and peace in a harried world. We can throw our pebble in the pond and be confident that its ever-widening circle will reach around the world. We repeat, there is nothing we can do but love, and dear God, please enlarge our hearts to love each other, to love our neighbor, and to love our enemy as our friend.
This is one I did a lot at Vandalia. This was written by one of my favorite contemporary Christian, well, probably my favorite Christian artist. He wrote this in 2009.
I'm building a house on the land. Something that could stop a war, but I'll be set on all sides with dreams, with eyes on my heart. So I lie to everyone. I lie to so many lovers. I've gotten away with it too. God is against us, then who can be for us, my friends? There's justice for everyone. Please take your hand off my brother. Please take your laws off my lover. The agents of law should be always be blind and on time, till there's freedom for everyone. Where are your American brothers? American before they were named. They're huddling mass with no oceans to cross for our shores. There's fortune for everyone. Oppression is always oppression. Matter the reasons or means, for skin or for sex, by stares or by fists, it's the same. There are blinders on everyone. I've looked through the eyes of my father. I've walked through Lincoln's backyard, and there's still a back seat when you ride on through this town. There's color on may lie beneath the tree of no color, like an American flag umbrella. It keeps the elements out, and it's stuck to the ground in this place. But there's room for everyone. I know a way out of hell. We raise all our enemies' children. After they've murdered ours, we affix all their scars to our walls. So there's heartbreak for everyone. In the end, it'll all be okay. That's what the wise men tell us. So if it's not okay, then it's not the end, oh my friend. There's hope for everyone.
What a powerful message. Those are those songs that I speak of from time to time where I wonder why I'm getting up here to talk. Thank you for that message so much. My message this morning is entitled, Being Spiritual Means Being Political. It's interesting to me that white Christian nationalists are perfectly comfortable with conflating their personal spiritual beliefs and their political desires. Yet when someone whose spiritual perspectives are different from theirs makes political arguments based in part on their beliefs, they can get incredibly upset and frequently aggressive about it. You may even remember that my Epiphany sermon that rebuked the biblical, that included a biblical rebuke of the January 6th attempted insurrection of the Capitol building. It upset Christian nationalists so much that they reported it as hate speech and had us temporarily banned from live broadcasting on Facebook. It's equally interesting to me, however, that there are progressive thinking Christians who also have a problem with public expression of spiritual beliefs that are meant to have an impact on politics. Many of you know that I am president and co-executive director of progressivechristianity.org, an organization that the Presbyterian Church of the Covenant has had has supported long before I even showed up at either one of the two places. And my friend and colleague, the Reverend Dr. Caleb Lyons, who's the other co-director, together we have been expanding the messages for which the organization provides resources. In particular, over there, we have increased the number of articles that directly deal with, or maybe indirectly deal with, politics. And you might be surprised, or you might not, that that move frustrated some of our quite progressive readers. So, as we head into another election season, I think it is helpful to reflect a bit on whether Jesus would have been able to separate his political statements from his spiritual life. And we'll get to that, but I also think as folks here, myself and other progressive ministers, be a bit more political over the next few weeks, we need to recognize that the inability to separate spiritual life and political statements goes beyond Jesus. It's also biblical. And then, ultimately, we need to consider how to determine whether or not a political position is actually based on a spiritual foundation, or if it's simply a political desire masquerading as a Christian belief, because it's so much easier to manipulate folks into following blindly when it's presented as a religious reality. Let's start with the Bible. When Moses said, "Let my people go," and ultimately led his people home, it was political. When Samuel confronts King Saul's increasingly oppressive rule, it was political. When David spent years running from King Saul, it was political. When Nathan faces down King David's increasingly oppressive rule, it was political. When Elijah consistently rebuked King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, it was political. John the Baptist being beheaded for rebuking King Herod, political. Jesus confronting the abuse of the Sadducees and Pharisees, political. When Jesus was called Lord, that was a political statement. When Jesus flipped the tables and the money changers' tables, it was a political move. Paul didn't end up in jail 3 times because his actions weren't political. And even the book of Revelation is actually a political statement. The Bible has a political agenda. Even with all of the different writers who contributed to all the different books, there is a clear biblical bias against the powerful using their places of authority to step on those who are already suffering, and that is political. You see, when theologians and writers help us demystify the Bible by using various forms of critical analysis and the like, when they help us wrestle it from the overly possessive hands of literalists, we find ourselves left with a sacred book that isn't so much a rule book handed down from God as much as it is a guidebook from our spiritual ancestors about what a healthy spiritual life looks like. As I've just pointed out, it turns out that a big part of what it looks like is political. So, when some of the progressiveChristianity.org folks express concern with the increase in politically leaning resources, I told them that I believe that good theological work puts our spiritual heritage into conversation with our modern lives. I told them that I believe that that was why there was an increase in resources that were spiritual and political in their perspective. And I told them it was necessary because our modern political reality needed to be put into check in a spiritual point of view. I still believe that that is true. The Christian flags the insurrectionists carried as they stormed the Capitol building alone should tell you enough to understand why, right now, in this political day and age, it is very necessary for ministers and theologians to put our modern political realities in check from a spiritual point of view. And not only that, it is biblical. And as we head into this election season, I believe that it is more necessary than ever. See, much like John the Baptist, Paul, Jesus, and the prophets from the Jewish text, when modern leadership begins to step on those who are already struggling, prophetic voices necessarily become more political. I'd even say that during difficult times, if spiritual leaders are not speaking prophetically, we're in a world of trouble. So, it should be no surprise that yes, Jesus was political. As a matter of fact, he was crucified because the Roman authorities of the day saw him as a real threat to the state, a threat to political order, and most importantly, a threat to those in power. Jesus didn't end up hanging from a tree for being non-political. In first century Roman Empire, wandering spiritual teachers posed no threat to the state if they weren't political. But things that Jesus said and did were very political. As I said, when leadership begins to step on those who are already struggling, prophetic voices necessarily become more political. So, when Jesus saw that what the Roman Empire was doing to those who were struggling, and saw the inequality that was built into the system in order to privilege some and marginalize others, he spoke out. And the Roman government sentenced him to death because of his activity. Jesus, my friends, was political because people were being hurt. And he loved them too much to sit silently by as that happened. Now, what's amazing to me is that knowing what you should do if you are a Christian in any given circumstance is a lot easier than people seem to think it is. Politicians like to confuse us about it as well. But Jesus and many other great spiritual teachers understood what really matters. Over and over again, they try to teach us about it. And when they get good at it, the powerful come after them. Because it is a message, it's a word that would end the power structures that the powerful live in. The message, that word is love. You see, a necessary outcome of living out love is equality. A necessary outcome of living out love is justice for all. A necessary outcome of living out love is destroying the systems and tools of systemic inequality. Here's the thing. If it doesn't come from a loving place, it doesn't match with the teachings of Jesus. If the outcome doesn't express love, then it isn't Christian. And if it isn't from love, it isn't from God. Yet we see almost daily in the news and in our day-to-day lives folks who like to think of themselves as Christians getting it wrong over and over again. Love is how we determine if a political position is based on an actual spiritual foundation. If it isn't loving, it is probably a political desire masquerading as a Christian belief because it is so much easier to manipulate folks into following blindly when it's presented as a religious reality. Well, most of us would easily agree that one of Jesus' primary messages was to love one another. One of the main signs of loving one another is helping those who are struggling. Acts of charity, as in whoever has two tunics, share one with someone who doesn't. Well, those are very effective ways. They're very effective ways of practicing loving one another immediately, as well as to improve the life of those struggling a bit. But the thing is, charity is love in the moment. Which must mean that loving one another looks like more than just charity. Or as Desmond Tutu once put it, there comes a point when we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. And we need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. That's where acts of justice, as in let justice roll down like waters, comes in. Acts of justice take a hard look at the systems that are creating the conditions which put and keep people in places where they struggle. Acts of justice not only want people to be cared for in the moment, but also want to help ensure that their future isn't so unnecessarily difficult. Justice is love extended into the future. That looks a lot more like love than charity alone does. And it is the reason why being spiritual also means being political. Here's the thing, as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, we know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Well, frequently demanding freedom, demanding justice, looks very much like being politically prophetic. As I mentioned earlier, during difficult times, if spiritual leaders are not speaking prophetically, we are in a world of trouble. Because, yes, the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice, but I'm here to tell you, it has been my observation, that it does not bend easily, nor does it bend unaided. Connecting our spiritual beliefs and practices with political perspectives that work towards justice for those who suffer the most is not only the right thing to do, but if we take our religious text seriously, it's also the biblical thing to do. It is essential that we take what we've learned from the teachings of Jesus and other great spiritual guides and put them into action. And sometimes that means being political. Because when people are being hurt by the powerful, we must never be willing to sit silently by. Otherwise, we've actually learned nothing. Beliefs without actions are a bit hollow, and I would argue inauthentic. Beliefs without actions are just scholastic exercises in theological and philosophical perspectives. Without actions, that becomes mostly selfish. Beliefs without actions deny not only the connectedness of humanity, but also deny the biblical understanding that we are intrinsically connected, that in our love for each other, we are each other's keepers. For followers of the teachings of Jesus, justice is actualized in the intersection of people being oppressed and the systems that are causing their oppression. The message to those systems of oppression comes from a place of love, but it does not make space for those systems to continue. And yes, that can look a lot like being politically prophetic, but that's just fine. Because as I have said, being political, being spiritual, means being political.
He has a wife and a baby. He knows the law just to save them. working for $3 an hour. Truly you said we were equal. Everyone's heart is deceitful. Everyone born is illegal. When love is the law of the land. Coming to you for the hungry, eating the scraps of this country. I swear you would see them, tell me you or make them know. I need to know there is justice, that it will roll in abundance. And you're building a city where we arrive at the grits. You call us citizens, you welcome us as children born. There is a wolf who is ranting, all of the sheep, they are clapping, promising power and protection, claiming the price to what's ill. Killed by a common consensus, everyone screaming Barabbas, trading their god for a hero, forfeiting heaven for Rome. Coming to you cause I'm angry, coming to you cause I'm guilty, coming to you cause you promise to leave the flock. I need to know there is justice, that it will roll in abundance. And you're building a city where we arrive at immigrants. And you call us citizens, and you welcome us as children born. Where we arrive as immigrants, and you call us citizens, and you welcome us as children born. Is there a way to love always, living in enemies' hallways? Don't know my foes from my friends, and don't know my friends anymore. Power has several prizes, handcuffs can come in all sizes. Love has a million disguises, but winning is not simply won.
Thank you for that, Stephanie. I was not familiar with that song, but the lyrics, I'm going to get more familiar with the song for sure. Thanks for finding that and sharing it with us. You know, kind of out of necessity in churches as we gather and we decide to pray, prayer has become very corporate. But it seems to me that prayer is a very personal and individual thing. We each experience in different ways. So when we arrive at this moment in our services, I always invite you to enter into this time of prayer or meditation in whatever way is best for you. Pray in your mind along with these words if you care to. If not, meditate, breathe in and out. Let the words wash across you. Grab hold of what you need in this moment. Let's bow our heads. We wish to let go of the self-importance that lurks in our lives. We wish to be pulled from the depths of our sometimes short-sighted selfishness, to be reminded of the interconnectedness of life, to be convicted with the reality that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. May we be inspired towards lives lived out for others, lives that persistently shout out from the mountaintops, we demand justice for all people. May we be the bringers of justice. May we be salt unto the earth. May we be the harbingers of justice, voices of equality, voices for love in a world in need. May we be followers of the great spiritual teachers like Jesus, and may we act like it, bringing peace and love and justice to all of creation, even when it means being political. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. May you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may you share that love and happiness with all the people you meet.